Okay. So tonight we'll begin chapter 80. And chapter 80 is called?
Sudama visits Lord Krishna.
So this is a famous pastime and a very instructive pastime. So we'll go into this chapter. Tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 22. King Parikshit said, "My Lord, O Master, I wish to hear about other valorous deeds performed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, whose valor is unlimited." So what is the key word in that verse?
Valorous.
Valorous, yeah, good. What's the Sanskrit for valor?
Virya.
Virya. Where do we hear this word virya? Yeah. Like that. Where else do we hear it in the Bhagavad Gita? Virya. And? Yeah. 18th chapter. This is the quality of a kshatriya. Virya. Virya means valorous. You understand the word valorous? Mm-hmm. Valor means heroic. One who is not scared. One who will give one's life for a cause. One who is powerful. Virya. Virya means strength. What's that?
Magnanimity.
Valorous, yeah, you could say like that. Yeah, more heroic. So it means Krishna's pastimes are like that. Krishna is Purushottama. Purushottama means the person who has Uttama, Purush. Uttama means topmost. Purusha means the person. So the person with the highest qualities, the best qualities, that is Krishna himself. So therefore he is known as Purushottama. So one of the qualities is Virya. Virya means very strong, very powerful, and able to do heroic activities. So this is what makes Krishna all attractive. Because Krishna's qualities are unlimited. And he presents his qualities to the highest degree. And Virya is one of those qualities which he shows to the highest degree. There are many heroes in history, but Krishna's heroism surpasses everyone. Therefore, the word Krishna means all attractive, because he has all of these qualities. So he displays the qualities of Kshatriya, which means the qualities of potency and power. Now, we must also develop these qualities. Prabhupada says in the fourth canto, in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, in one of the purports, he said, devotees must become heroes. Words to that effect. So Prabhupada expected all of us to become like that. Which means, Prabhupada, he said different things. He said, we should perform Herculean tasks in the service of Krishna. Which means whatever we're doing now, we should expand and increase it. We should make things, the preaching more significant. Prabhupada also said on another occasion, he said, we want Arjuna or no one. So meaning that a devotee should be like Arjuna. Prabhupada wanted the temple full of Arjunas. You know, people are very powerful, very potent, able to achieve a great deal in Krishna's service. So this is the example that Krishna is showing us. And all devotees should develop this quality. We should do more to spread ISKCON. ISKCON is not spreading rapidly enough, and the world is becoming more and more chaotic rapidly. So it's a race, basically, between us spreading Krishna consciousness and the world going to a dark destination. So it means we have to do more, we have to increase our preaching. Think of new ways. Prabhupada said, rack your brains how to spread Krishna consciousness. Think of new ways to do it. You know, think of other ways that we can spread Krishna consciousness, things that we haven't done before. Any points? Okay. O Brahmana, how could anyone who knows the essence of life and is disgusted with endeavoring for sense gratification give up the transcendental topics of Lord Uttama Shloka after hearing them repeatedly?
Jagannath comments here that we see many persons who, after hearing the topics of the Lord repeatedly, give up their spiritual dedication. The Acharya replies that the word Visheshajna is therefore significant here. Those who have actually understood the essence of life do not give up Krishna consciousness. A further qualification is to be Vishana Kama Marganai, disgusted with material sense gratification. These two qualities are complementary. One who has experienced the real taste of Krishna consciousness automatically becomes disgusted with the inferior taste of material pleasure. Such a genuine hearer of the topics of Krishna cannot give up hearing about the Lord's fascinating pastimes.
Any points?
Yes, we studied earlier that the pastimes of the Lord are Bhava Aushadhi. They are actually the medicine for the sick mind.
Where was that verse?
It was the 10th canto.
At the end of the past, end of the Rasa Lila.
Rasa Lila.
Yeah. At the end of the pastime. Nice. Any other point?
Jnana Margis, they stopped hearing. The Jnana Margis, people who are Jnanis, they stopped hearing after a certain point. But for the devotee, it is
And Dhruva Maharaj also.
Prabhupada also heard one of them, and Prabhupada insisted, tell me that, he used to always tell others to tell him the pastime. I think it was probably in Parliament. Prabhupada sometimes used to slap his book and laugh when the pastime was decided.
Good. Any other point? So, we can only take up spiritual life when we become detached from the material world. As it specifically says here in this verse, you have to become disgusted with the material energy. Until we become like that, you can't take to Krishna consciousness seriously, as long as you're attached. If you're attached to the material world, you can't fully take to Krishna consciousness. So it'll be described actually in this, later in this canto, it's coming. When Krishna gives special mercy to a devotee, he takes away all your material attachments and desires. There's a famous verse which is coming soon, which Prabhupada said affected him. And the verse is that when Krishna shows special mercy to a devotee, then he takes away his wealth, which happened to Prabhupada also in his pastimes, and your relatives and friends may begin to turn against you. So that's Krishna's special mercy. So welcome to the temple. Enjoy your experience here in Krishna consciousness. You will suffer a lot now that you've become a devotee. So it's good, isn't it? But actually we enjoy it. Devotees, we actually enjoy, because we are suffering. But when you become a little advanced, you actually appreciate that that is Krishna's mercy. And we become enlivened by it, because we feel that Krishna is breaking our attachment to this material world. Right? And that's the desire of a devotee. So until you become like that, until you become disgusted, and the famous example Prabhupada would quote, King Kulashekhar, who was a great king and saint from South India. He's one of the 12 Albas of South India, great saints. In South India is a different tradition, as we've discussed. We're from the Gaudiya tradition. In the Panchadravida tradition, in the southern tradition of Vaishnavism, the 12 Albas are very significant. In our tradition, we don't know so much about them. But Prabhupada would quote King Kulashekhar, and Prabhupada was even translating Mukundamala Stotra, which was the book written by King Kulashekhar. Prabhupada never finished it, but it was finished later on. He didn't finish the entire translation, but the fact that Prabhupada was translating it shows it's very significant. And in that book, King Kulashekhar, the example I'm thinking of is Jamuna Acharya, who is following in that tradition. But he said that when I think of sense gratification or sex life, I spit at the thought. And even one time when Prabhupada was telling the pastime, he spat on the table for emphasis. That's how a devotee will become. We haven't become like that yet. We're still attached to the material world. But one day we'll become actually detached from the material world. How much do we have to go through to become detached from the material world?
It's up to us.
Yeah, it's up to us ultimately. Yeah. But it seems like a lot more. Because, you know, I know many of you in this room, you've all gone through so much, and still you're attached to the material world. I mean, how much more do we have to go through? Actually, sometimes Prabhupada said we have to like be ground to actually become detached from this world. Just like when you grind the spices, right, and you have to pulverize them. So Krishna usually he has to do that to the devotees to make them detached. Otherwise, we don't get detached, because even so many negative things happen to us, but then the attachments are still there. So it has to happen more and more and more, and Krishna will do that. But that is Krishna's special mercy. So in due course of time, we'll become detached and disgusted with this material world. Right? If it can come earlier, then that is better. If it can come just by hearing, that is considered superior. That's a better way to do it. So what is the result? The result is then you'll develop Vasudev Kata. Ruchi, taste. That's how you know you're advancing. Now it's interesting because it says here, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur himself says in his commentary that many people hear about Krishna but then they go away. Right? And we've seen, you all know devotees who have come, they've been practiced for many years and then they went away. So we should not be like that. What stops us from going away? Why don't we leave? Because Maya is tempting all of us. And there are difficulties on the path. Why don't we go away?
We lose Krishna's protection. We lose Krishna's protection.
Yeah, but what makes us not go away?
That's what, we will lose Krishna's protection.
So you're fearful that you'll lose Krishna's protection?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so that's one thing. What else?
Mercy.
What's that?
Mercy.
Mercy means?
Sometimes just getting the strength, like where is this coming from, to keep coming, but like somehow that the determination and the strength is still there.
Yeah, Krishna reciprocates. Yeah, it's true.
association of devotees also prevents us from doing, because they are there to keep us in check.
Yeah, that's it. But even still with their association, you can leave. So what is it within us? It stops us.
You have a taste of doing that.
Yeah, you have to develop a taste. Vasudev Kata Ruchi. Ruchi means, yeah, Harinama Ruchi. Lord Chaitanya's teachings are basically explained in three categories. Vaishnava Seva, Kripa Daya, right? And?
Namaruchi.
Right? Sorry, Jiva Daya. Namaruchi. Namaruchi means a taste. That's why we don't leave Krishna consciousness. We have to get a taste for hearing about Krishna. Because when you get a taste for hearing about Krishna, then you will not leave. Right? And the taste can only develop fully when you become detached from the material world. As long as you're attached to the material world, you can't fully develop your taste for hearing about Krishna. Right? Otherwise, you'll become distracted. You'll hear about Krishna, but after some time, then you'll develop other tastes. So you have to develop that taste that you cannot leave Krishna under any circumstance. Because there is no other taste in the material world. You know, we've experienced that. There's nothing else that really gives you taste. Especially as you get older, everything else just becomes, you know, I know for myself, it's becoming a little bit like that. You know, I'm just losing taste for so many things. Everything just bores me these days. You know, conversations bore me. Even today, you know, people came to the farm, but you know, they're just talking material things. I'm just like, enough's enough. You can only have so much material conversation. And actually, as you get older, quite often, you see senior devotees do this. They become more withdrawn. They need more of their own space, and I'm becoming like that as I get older also. You know, you just need your own space, your own time. Like my wife and my daughter have gone to Belgium for Kanamakata Maharaj's Vyasa Puja, which was yesterday. So they went. So, you know, my wife's ringing me and she says, you know, do you miss me? And I say, yes, of course. But actually, I'm enjoying it. Right? Because, I mean, one part of me is missing, but, you know, another part, you know, just to have your own space, your own time. You know, you can get up in the morning, just chant, there's no distraction. Right? And you just do deity worship, no distraction. I can read, no distraction. That actually, devotee, you need that more as time goes by. That is satisfying. Because you lose your taste for the material world. You know, sometimes we just, you know, you talk, but it's draining just to talk because people just talk so many mundane things. Mm-hmm. At least when we speak about Bhagavatam, it's satisfying to the consciousness. If you don't have this kind of kata, then you become, you'll dry up in this material. Because there's no taste in the material energy. Any points?
What, like you said, like always, we see so many people come, so many devotees coming and going, and the taste has been developed in. Developing then as well, but like, so why do they still
leave? The taste is not deep enough. It means it hasn't become deep enough. That's all.
Even after 10 years, 15 years.
Time does not matter. Time is not the significant factor. You can be a devotee for 1 year, but you can have a taste for hearing about Krishna, right? Or you can be a devotee for 50 years and not have enough taste. Hearing about Krishna. You have to develop that taste. That's how it comes. Okay. Actual speech is that which describes the qualities of the Lord. Real hands are those that work for Him. A true mind is that which always remembers Him, dwelling within everything moving and non-moving. And actual ears are those that listen to sanctifying topics about Him. Rasi Prabhu?
While continuing from the previous verse, to glorify the sense of hearing dedicated to God, King Parikshit mentions the other senses also, so that we gain a complete picture of Krishna consciousness. Here he declares that without any connection to Krishna, the Supreme Lord, all the organs of the body become useless. A similar statement is made by Saunaka Rishi in the second canto, third chapter, verses 20 to 24. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti mentions that the senses should work together in Krishna consciousness. In other words, whatever the eyes or the ears experience, the mind should simply remember Krishna, who is within all things.
Mm. Any points?
But to engage all the senses in the service of the Lord, like Ambarish Maharaj.
Oh. Yep. Anything else?
Prabhupada gives the example of Lord in the fire. When we put our senses in the fire of Krishna consciousness, we get to do it.
Good. Any other points?
Anything that you do that's not in service of the Lord is illusion and actually meaningless.
Yeah.
And not real, and it doesn't go into your bank account that's for a level of the Lord.
Mm.
So the result isn't really there.
Mm.
But this gives you results. So service to the Lord gives you the tangible result that's lasting.
Mm. This is much better. So, these verses, which are just the next few verses, very similar to verses which are in which place in the Bhagavad Gita?
Ninth canon.
Ninth canon? Whereabouts?
Krishna.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you could say that. But there's verses which are very similar, which are earlier on.
Second canon.
Second canon, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, very similar. Yeah, so in the Bhagavatam this has been spoken before, no? That we have to use everything in Krishna's service. Krishna is known as Hrishikesh. The definition of pure bhakti, which is given by Narada, is Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. That is the definition he gives of bhakti. Tatpara Twena Niyamalam. Savopadi Vinayamuktam. That's a... Because when Rupa Goswami gives his definitive analysis of pure devotional service, Anya Bilashita Shunya, Jnana Kamadhyana Navritam, Anukuyena Krishna Vashima, Bhakti Uttama, when he gives that definition, to support that definition, he says this verse also describes pure devotional service. Savopadi Vinimukta. Savopadi means all your upadis. Upadis means your identities. Everything you identify with. What do you identify with in this material world? I'm a woman, I'm a man, I'm Indian, I'm Australian, right? I'm...
daughter or mother.
Yeah, daughter or mother. Yeah, and then I work for this company. Yeah, I work for Telstra. That's where my loyalty is. That's material world. So all your attachments, all your identifications, right? That is upadi. So devotional service destroys the upadis. It takes away all of your bodily identifications. Because if you don't give them up, you can't develop pure devotional service. Tatpara Twena Nirmala. Nirmala. Nirmala means completely pure. Devotional service makes us completely pure. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchite. Your senses get used in the service of Krishna. That's how we get purified. Right? The mind. Because everything is about the mind. Right? What's Krishna's final instruction in Bhagavad Gita? 1865. Manmana. Bhava mad bhakto. So he says, Manmana. Think of me. Right? Think of me. Right? So all the service we do with all of our senses, it all goes into the mind. Right? Always think of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. That's the mind. The mind is the pivot of devotional service. We're meant to be thinking of him. That's why we do all the engagements. That's why we engage ourselves. Did you all go to that Madhava Rock concert last night? Oh, he didn't go. Hands up if you did go.
We thought the exam was this week, probably. That's why. We thought the exam was going to be this week. Then I got scared and I said, I'm not coming. I thought the exam was going to be 30th. So.
Oh, okay. Why didn't the rest of you go? Just didn't go.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, just didn't go. Yeah, they had a rock concert at St Kilda Town Hall. I was at a catering job. We had a preaching activity yesterday, so I couldn't go. Otherwise, I would have gone just to see the devotees engaged like that. But I saw on the video, you know, the live footage, I could see it live, you know, different devotees were taping it, then you could see, especially the kids and some of the adults, you know, using their senses in Krishna's service. That's the point. It was a kid's concert, really. You know, all the parents just paid the money just so the kids can go and they could all dance and chant. You know, because that's what you do when you're young. You want to jump up and down and dance and chant, you know, and go crazy. And we can do it in Krishna's service. So it engages all the senses in the service of Krishna. But what's the result? Just like I was watching other footage about 10 days ago, then they had the Holy Name Retreat up at Mawalamba. Who went for that one? Oh, a few. Very good. Yeah, so I remember I was watching one point, they had like live streaming, and Govinda Maharaj, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, he was leading the kirtan. It was becoming a bit wild in the evening. And then they started to throw the devotees up on the roof. You probably saw on the footage. And then, you know, one devotee got up so high, he was hanging on the beam, like up there. And then everyone was going, you can hear everyone going like that. But Maharaj on the micro, he said, keep chanting. That's the point. The point's not just, we all go crazy and wild and, you know, we'll dance, who can dance the craziest and like that. That's not the point. The point is, even when we're chanting, the mind is meant to be absorbed in Krishna. King Kula Shekhar says, just like a swan and a lotus stem. And you see, like, the lotus is in the lake and the swan wraps his neck around the lotus. So King Kula Shekhar says, when you chant, your mind should be wrapped around the holy name like that. Completely absorbed. That's chanting. Right? Many of us, we're not chanting like that. Many of us are doing devotional service, but Krishna is not in our mind. Prabhupada actually says, you know, the many quotes Prabhupada speaks about chanting. You know, famously, whenever, you know, devotees ask us for advice about chanting, we say, just hear, because that's what Prabhupada said. But Prabhupada said many other things. That wasn't his only instruction on chanting. Prabhupada says, when you chant, the pastimes should come into your mind while chanting. And he said, it is very nice that you're hearing the holy name and the pastimes are coming. That's the goal of the chanting. Because Krishna is supposed to be in the mind. You're chanting. Krishna is supposed to be there. That's why we do all our service. So you're doing all these different services you do. If Krishna is not coming into your mind, if you're not thinking of Krishna, right, a blue cowherd boy in Vrindavan, who is the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, and, you know, so many pastimes in detail. If that's not coming in your mind, right, you may or may not stay in Krishna consciousness. That's the goal. That's always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Right? That's why we do all the service, to purify ourselves. Right? But we have to understand what the goal is. Right? Sometimes, you know, we lack that understanding. And then sometimes devotees go away. Why do they go away? Because Krishna's not in the mind. If Krishna's in the mind and the heart, you can't go away. Because where are you going to go? What does it mean going away? Krishna's there all the time. One devotee said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I resign. Prabhupada said, how do you resign from Krishna's service? How do you do that? I resign. How? How do you stop serving Krishna? You can't. Yeah, you can go somewhere else, but Krishna's there. Right? He doesn't disappear. He's always in there. Right? It says that if you say the name of Lord Ram, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, we chant it all day. You say the name of Lord Ram just once, sincerely, Lord Ram will never forget. right? And he will always keep connected to you, even if you begin to forget him. Right? So you can't go away. Right? So the point is, the Bhagavatam is saying, use all your senses in the service of Krishna. Right? But in due course of time, Krishna should be coming in the mind now. You know, don't keep practicing, you're not getting the actual result. Understand what the result is. It's what the whole Bhagavatam, I mean, we're in 10th canto now. You know, some of us have been doing 15 years of this. You know, if we get to this point, and when, you know, even Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur says, you know, you've been doing it, he says this, 15 or 20 years, right? You should be doing Leela Smaranam. You should be remembering Krishna's pastimes. Otherwise, what's the point of all our study? We get to the 10th canto and we're not thinking of Krishna now, then what's the point? We're really, really missing out. There's only 10 more chapters. Tomorrow night we'll do a revision, chapter 70 to 80. Right? And then, not tomorrow night, but the following Tuesday, we'll have the exam. And then there's only 10 more chapters for the 10th canto. Right? But if you get to the end of the 10th canto and Krishna's not deep, deep within your consciousness, within your heart and your mind, what was the point? Right? Go back to canto 1 and start again. Yeah. Where are you up to in your course?
14.
Chapter 14, first canto. How long did that take to get there?
More than a year.
Yeah, please. Don't follow my example. Everyone will leave their body before. What's that? Yeah, there's always distractions, but yeah. Yeah, we're at to speed up a little bit. We'll start the 11th canto this year, that's our plan. But the 11th canto is highly technical. So I'll try to go as fast as possible. There's a lot of philosophy, an amazing philosophy actually. 11th canto is very special. Very special. Plus we'll have Burujan Prabhu's book as the assistance to it. So there's a lot of deep revelation within the teaching. It's a very deep subject matter. Okay. An actual head. Is that where we're up to?
Yep.
Sorry. An actual head is one that bows down to the Lord in his manifestations among the moving and non-moving creatures. Real eyes are those that see only the Lord, and actual limbs are those which regularly honor the water which has bathed the Lord's feet, or those of his devotees. The beautiful instructions are here. Always see Krishna in all the moving and non-moving living entities. This is Krishna consciousness. Right? Just like today, I was preparing the class, and at the farm at the moment, I don't know in Melbourne, but there's a lot of little flies around. Have you got them in Melbourne? No, at farms, be crazy at the moment. For some reason, the conditions must be right, so they're breeding. They're like a little fly, they're not a big one, like a little one. They drive you nuts. Right? And there's about three in the house. I'm trying to study the bug, and I get like landing. And I go, oh. Like normally I don't get disturbed, but this was actually disturbing. So I was reading this verse while they were doing it, and then I really started to reflect, and then I thought, I have to see Krishna within all these living entities, and also all these living entities are connected to Krishna. Right? And you know, I have to. You know, it's another level of consciousness to where I'm presently at. So now, you know, Bhagavatam, and this is why the Bhagavatam is called Swajaya. When we study, it's called self-study. We have to see what is the next level we have to go to as devotees. You know, studying today now, Krishna was revealing to me where I have to go to next as a devotee. I have to deepen my realizations of that. So I see Krishna in all the living entities. At the moment, I don't do that. You know, so I have to go into a deeper state of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And then, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, particularly, you have to see the Lord in his manifestation as the devotees and the deities. Yeah. Krishna is there in the form of the deity. There's also something we have to cultivate. So often we take the deities for granted. I see devotees go in, they offer obeisance to the deities, but not really absorbing themselves in the deities. Sometimes see devotees just like whiz in, obeisances, just go like, pranami, and they keep moving, but it's not a deep absorption in the deities. The first time I saw Totogopinath in Jagannath Puri. Have you seen Totogopinath in Puri? Very, very special deity. Lord Chaitanya entered into that deity. That deity is the oldest deity in this universe. That deity was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly to Gadadhar Pandit. And this is an extremely important deity. First time I saw that deity, I was with Mother Jagatarini. And she told us, she said, you have to take darshan for a long time. And she gave us that instruction. It was a very powerful instruction in my Krishna consciousness. Sometimes you just have to take long darshans. And you should take long darshans regularly of our deities here, because these deities are not normal deities. I mean, no deity is normal, but these deities are very, very special. Prabhupada directly installed them. Right? They're special, special deities. So we should take long darshans, and we should cultivate that deeper relationship of understanding Krishna and the deity are non-different. Krishna is the deity. And also amongst devotees, we have to see the devotees as Krishna's representatives, which is also a deeper level. All these things I have to, myself, when I'm studying this today, I'm realizing I have to go much deeper in my perception of devotees, right? See them as Krishna's representatives. I mean, I see that, but not as deeply as I need to. Krishna reveals in your heart. There needs to be a deeper understanding. So we have to cultivate this in our Krishna consciousness. So it's also mentioned that we have to bathe ourselves in the water which is bathed, the feet of?
Lord and the devotees.
The Lord and the devotees. So what is the water that is bathe the feet of the Lord?
Ganga.
Ganga? Yeah, very good. Ganga. So it means going to the Ganga as regularly as possible, taking bath, submerging yourself. And then the Charanamrita in the temple. When you take Charanamrita, right, that is actually coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. That bathes the Shalagram Shilas every morning on the altar. Right. So taking that water is very powerful. That is Ganga water, that is Charanamrita. And also the water which bathes the feet of the devotees, which we don't get very often. Because we don't bathe devotees' feet very often. Yeah, our guru, which is rare. I mean, my guru's not in the world anymore, so I don't think I've had the water from the feet of a devotee for years, I don't think.
But you can do it in your heart.
Yeah, you can do it in your heart, that's nice. It's very powerful though when you get it physically. It's very powerful. When I joined, it was more common. When all the gurus or sannyasis come, we used to have a greeting ceremony. We used to bathe their feet, and we'd all, when we were young brahmacharis, we used to drink. And then we'd take it out and drink the whole thing. But I haven't done it for years and years. It's pretty rare now that you get the opportunity. But if you get the opportunity, you should. Should do. Okay. Suta Goswami said, thus questioned by King Vishnurata, the powerful sage Badarayani replied, his heart fully absorbed in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. So who are the two people mentioned? Badarayani and Vishnurata. Parikshit and Shukadev Goswami. This is the perfect combination, right? The devotees who are listening should be absorbed like Maharaj Parikshit was. How did Maharaj Parikshit listen to the Bhagavatam? That's how we should listen to the Bhagavatam. And how should we speak whenever we give classes on the Bhagavatam? representing Shukadev Goswami. That's why it's called Vyasa-san. When we give class, you sit on the Vyasa-san. You're representing Vyas. It means you are representing the disciplic succession. So you should speak on their behalf. Right? You put your full heart in it when you give class. You see devotees, they prepare for class. You know, some devotees prepare for 3 days like to give a class. Don't over-prepare them. Especially if you've got notes, just make some points. You see devotees sometimes almost like reading. Right? It's extremely boring. You know, just make your points. You know, when I give class, like tomorrow morning I'm giving class here, I don't even prepare. I don't even know what the verse is. I just go in there, you know, read the verse, read the purport, and then I just speak because I want to speak from my heart. I'm not saying don't prepare, but don't over-prepare. My guru told me many years ago, he said you should become so learned that you can sit down anytime and just speak on Bhagavatam. He told me that. And I like to, when I give class, like here in the temple, then I just, you know, I like to just speak from my heart. So I just read whatever's there and then I speak like that. Because, you know, for so many years I've studied, so I've got so many things I can draw upon. If I give class at Mayapur or something, a few times I gave class at Mayapur, then I'm prepared. Because then you've got big guns. Yeah, I've given classes like, you know, Hanumat Prasheksvar, and we're sitting right there, like, you know, like from here to there. You know, I'm chanting Jai Radha Madhava, and then I open my eyes, and Maharaj's sitting right there with his dhamma, and I'm like, oh my God. Oh, Krishna, you know. And then, you know, Pankajangri, Puru, Janivas, Puru are there, and they're like my gurus, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, why am I speaking? You know, so I chant the prayers, Om Gyan, Tivan Anishan, I'm just thinking in my head, what am I doing? Yeah, how am I going to speak in front of them? So then I prepare. Then I read the verse of what it is. In my mind, I don't have notes, but at least in my mind I know what I want to say. You know, because I'm speaking in front of them then. Yeah. So the point is that there has to be that connection. And then the rasa comes out. When the audience are like Maharaj Pariksit, when the speaker is like representing Shukadev, then it becomes pleasurable. Shukadev Goswami said, Lord Krishna had a certain Brahmana friend named Sudama, who was most learned in Vedic knowledge and detached from all sense enjoyment. Furthermore, his mind was peaceful and his senses subdued. These are the qualities of a Brahmana. Right? Mind is peaceful, senses are under control. Right. So if we see devotees in ISKCON who are like that, their minds are peaceful. It's actually rare in Kali Yuga. You know, but if you see devotees in ISKCON that have peaceful minds and are in control of their senses, then you should respect those devotees. We respect all the devotees, but you see like our gurus and like that. That means they're very elevated. So you should give great respect to those personalities. They are Brahmanas.
Is there any connection, like in the previous chapter we see Balgalad Balram going on the pilgrimage and now Pariksit Maharaj is asking about the balance teeth and Sudama starts from the starter now. So
what's the correlation between?
Yeah, like the thread that's coming.
There's a couple of chapters back, then in the purport it describes the timeline or the chronology of the pastimes. They're not actually in order. You remember the purport? Yeah. It was a little bit back. And it said that, but it doesn't mention this. So this is probably in order. Krishna's definitely killed all the demons because it mentions. Because he's put down his weapons, which means he's not leaving Dwarka anymore. It's just a pastime which is taking place. I don't know. I was thinking that today myself. What's the connection? Mm-hmm. I can't say anything particular like that, but this is a very famous pastime. And the lessons in the pastime are very sweet and significant. Living as a householder, he maintained himself with whatever came of its own accord. The wife of that poorly dressed Brahmana suffered along with him and was emaciated from hunger. Okay, so this is a very significant point in this pastime. The wife is extremely qualified. The husband is also extremely qualified. Right? And to make Grihastha ashram successful, because most of us are Grihasthas here, and you all know because you're all devotees, so you know, I can't really instruct you, but my realization is to make Grihastha ashram successful, there has to be a great deal of codependence and mutual respect, which means that the wife has to be very supportive of the husband, and the husband has to be very supportive and protective of the wife. That makes it work strongly. Even the outside, the non-devotees, they know this. I went to a seminar recently. Non-devotees, not devotees, but some very famous people in the world, like high-profile, famous people speaking. And the keynote speaker actually said, "I'm successful because of my partner." And she said, "You need to choose the right partner because that person will help you become successful." Right? And that's why we get married. That's why we choose the partner. If you're choosing a husband or wife, you know, the only real thing that we're looking for is their devotional qualification. Because they're going to have a huge influence on your becoming Krishna conscious. Right? You see, someone, a wife like this is extremely qualified. Such an asset to the development of Krishna consciousness. And the husband, if he's very strong, then he will assist the wife greatly. Right? So this very powerful interdependence. The chaste wife of the poverty-stricken Brahmana once approached him. Her face dried up because of her distress. Trembling with fear, she spoke as follows. So why is she coming to Sudama? She's saying, we're in poverty. We're in so much poverty, we can't even eat. We don't even have food. Right? Extremely poor. We don't even have food to eat. But in the commentary, it's mentioned, Vishnu Chakra Thakur says, she's not coming because of her. She's worried about her husband. He's not eating. She's not eating properly either, but she's not even thinking about herself. She's thinking, he's not eating. This is the essence of bhakti. The essence of bhakti is selfless behavior and service. Right? And you see with Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost devotee, that's her whole consciousness. Whenever she is doing anything, she's only thinking about Krishna's pleasure. Even though it may appear that she's concerned about herself. Right? And sometimes I was reading in the last couple of weeks, Srimati Radharani was with Krishna and she said something like that during the pastime. She said, I think they were doing the Rasa Leela, they were dancing. And Radharani said, I'm feeling tired now. I want to rest. But she wasn't saying that for her. She was thinking, Krishna must be tired. He wants to rest. Right? So that's the heart of a devotee. Right? The heart of a devotee is they're not thinking about themselves. Right? If you develop that consciousness, you will understand the Bhagavatam. If you don't develop that consciousness, you don't understand the Bhagavatam. So you see, she is saying, she's not worried about herself, she's worried about her husband not eating as a devotee.
Yeah,
specifically, the commentary says she was worried about him, but the point is the devotee is worried about the other people. Sudama's wife said, "O Brahmana, isn't it true that the husband of the goddess of fortune is the personal friend of your exalted self? That greatest of Yadavas, the Supreme Lord Krishna, is compassionate to Brahmanas and very willing to grant them his shelter." O fortunate one, please approach him, the real shelter of all saints. He will certainly give abundant wealth to such a suffering householder as you. Lord Krishna is now the ruler of the Bhojas, Vrishnis and Andhikas and is staying in Dwaraka. Since he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet, what doubt is there that he, the spiritual master of the universe, will bestow upon his sincere worshipper prosperity and material enjoyment, which are not even very desirable? Sukadeva Goswami continued, when his wife thus repeatedly implored him in various ways, the Brahmana thought to himself, to see Lord Krishna is indeed the greatest achievement in life. Thus he decided to go, but first he told her, my good wife, if there is anything in the house I can bring as a gift, please give it to me. So this is culture, the Vedic culture, it's devotional culture. Right. It actually says, Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Devotion, don't go before the deity without a gift. It's one of the 64 items of bhakti. We shouldn't even go into the temple without giving. So, you know, sometimes I think of that when I go in to see the deities. You know, when I offer obeisances, that's what I think. I think I'm giving you myself because I didn't bring anything, which is inappropriate actually. You know, if you go to some great person's place, you should always give a gift. It's culture. You know, even when I was growing up, you know, like friends would come over, they'd bring gifts like that. We should be like that, always giving gifts. So this is the culture. Sudama, he goes to see Krishna, has to bring something. You can't go and see an old friend and not give a gift. Right? It's not appropriate. This culture's being lost. But in the ancient days, that was the culture. Sudama's wife begged for 4 handfuls of flat rice from the neighboring brahmanas, tied up the rice in a torn piece of cloth, and gave it to her husband as a present for Lord Krishna. Taking that flat rice, the saintly brahmana set off for Dwaraka, in all the while wondering, how will I be able to have Krishna's audience? The learned brahmana, joined by some local brahmanas, passed 3 guard stations and went through 3 gateways, and then he walked by the homes of Lord Krishna's faithful devotees, the Andhikas and the Vrishnis, which ordinarily no one could do. He then entered one of the opulent palaces belonging to Lord Hari's 16,000 queens. And when he did so, he felt as if he were attaining the bliss of liberation. It's a very beautiful description because it says that when he got to the doorway of the palace, he stopped there and he just absorbed himself in silence. Right? And this is, as we said before, as you remain a devotee for a long period of time, it seems that silence becomes very meritorious, very beneficial, and very wanted and desirable, actually. Just to be in complete silence. Because when a devotee is in silence, he can just contemplate on Krishna. He can read about Krishna. He can chant about Krishna. Right? So when he got to the gate, that's all he did. He just sat there and he just thought, you can feel Krishna's presence. Krishna's just there inside the palace. Right? We need that time for reflection as devotees, constantly. That's why we go on pilgrimage. That's why we go on yatra. That's why we chant our japa in the morning. You know, we need that time just to fully absorb ourselves in Krishna's service. At that time, Lord Achyutya was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the brahmana at some distance, the Lord immediately stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. The lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmana, and thus he shed tears of love. That's why we have to study the Bhagavatam. What makes God blissful? Yeah, when he sees his devotees. This is God we're talking about. This is the all-powerful being. He starts having tears in his eyes when he touches his devotees. This makes us understand what life is about. This is how God exists. Right? When he touches the devotees, he feels bliss. It's a very significant pastime, the love between Sudama and Krishna. It's a very beautiful pastime. Lord Krishna seated his friend Sudama upon the bed. Then the Lord, who purifies the whole world, personally offered him various tokens of respect and washed his feet. O King, after he sprinkled the water on his own head, he anointed him with divinely fragrant sandalwood, aguru, and kunkum pastes, and happily worshipped him with aromatic incense and arrays of lamps. After finally offering him betel nut and gifts and the gift of a cow, he welcomed him with pleasing words. So we have to learn, the Bhagavatam is teaching us, how to give respect to our superiors. Right? Someone comes who is superior, I mean any devotee, but especially a superior. You have to give gifts, you have to offer respect. Now, Krishna himself is even taking the water on his head. You know, I remember my guru came just in that room there, which is now it's the dining room, used to be the reception. He came, it would have been 92 or 93 or something like that. And then it wasn't so many devotees like now. There's probably about 30 of us in there. And he came, arrived from the airport, and he straight in, he sat on the couch and we bathed his feet. And then I bathed his feet. And then, you know, they're having kirtan. And he leant forward to me and he whispered on my ear, he said, sprinkle the water on everyone's head. Right? Because he was teaching me the culture. Right? So I went around, I took the water and I put it on everyone's head. Right? Because that is the culture. Right? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, said, I am sitting on the Vyasasan as the guru, teaching all of the disciples how to worship the guru. Right? It's not an easy service being the guru, because you have to teach the others. Prabhupada was the same. You read the first Vyasa Puja they observed in Japan, 1970. Prabhupada's on the Vyasa. Prabhupada on the Vyasa was saying, bring flowers, bring this to all this thing. Yeah, to teach them how to serve. You know, my guru said to me, take the water, sprinkle it on. So whenever the years after that, you know, whenever we would, any guru would come and we would get the water, I would always grab the water and then go around and put it on all the devotees' heads. That's the system. That's the culture. We have to learn these things. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.